Good morning, church. What a blessing and honor it is for me able to be with you this morning to join into this series with you, The Cast of Christmas. Yeah, I love that title. When Pastor Chris asked me to be a part of this Christmas season with you all, I jumped at the chance, not only because I love Pastor Chris and Carrie and their family, but I just love this message. I love the thought of Jesus coming to earth and what that must have been like 2,000 years ago. And the fact that you can dive into each of the characters in the story, what a great blessing and what a wonderful thing to be a part of. You know, when I think of that story, it reminds me of Christmas movies because, you know, I don't know about you, I love Christmas movies. I know last week the question was asked, what's your favorite? And one of you responded, Home Alone. And I got to admit, that's in my top five. but really, my favorite of all time would be a very old film, It's a Wonderful Life. You know, it's a black and white one. If you haven't seen it, I'm sure you've seen it. It's always on. But It's a Wonderful Life, the story of George, who, you know, he goes through life. He has these high aspirations, all of these hopes and dreams. And he finds himself in the middle of his life, just kind of living a very mundane, it would seem, existence. Kind of going daily through the routine, and he's kind of got a family, and life really hasn't gone the way that he had hoped and dreamed. And he finds himself in a situation that, of no fault of his own, you know, he's at a lack for funds, and it pretty soon it drives him to this very moment, this crisis moment in the movie where he wishes he had never been born. And then he gets this amazing gift where he gets to see what life would have been like if he hadn't. Not only for him, but for all of those around him. And it brings him to the startling conclusion that the joy that he thought was out there somewhere, it was around him all along. And yet he failed to realize it. You know, it reminded me of the question I heard someone ask one time, what would it take for you to have joy in the midst of your current situation? What would it take for you to have joy in the midst of your current situation, in the midst of 2020, in the midst of your job, in the midst of your family, in the midst of all of the hopes and dreams that have yet to be realized in your life? What would it take for you to have joy in the midst of your current situation? Well, Rick Warren says this, pastor of Saddleback Church in the States. He says, joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all of the details of my life, the quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right, and the determined choice to praise God in every situation. He says that's what joy is. And I love that definition. And when we look at the story today, we're going to hear about joy, this great joy that has come to earth, and those who heard the message first. Now, if you haven't guessed, the characters and the cast for today is the shepherds. And as we read through Luke chapter 2 and we look at the story of these ones who heard the good news for the very first time and what it meant to their life and what it did to their life, I hope that it encourages you to realize that joy is much closer than maybe you thought. Now let's turn into the Bible to Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And it says this, "And there were shepherds living out in their fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people.'" Good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Now you can just imagine what it would have been like for the shepherds, right? To be going through your normal job, your normal routine. Every night you would sit out in the fields and you would watch the sheep. And there's been many speculation about the roles in which the shepherds would have played, especially this close into town. Some have speculated that maybe they were shepherds over the ceremonial sheep, those sheep that would have been sacrificed for the temple. Others have speculated that, you know, their job said, you know, they had been these way for a boy, since this was typically a family tradition. While we don't really know the personal histories or the exact circumstance in which they found themselves, what we do know is that as shepherds, they would have been ceremonially unclean to worship. That they would have had to go through rituals if they ever wanted to worship the Lord in His temple. But in this moment, they find themselves surrounded by angels. And to say that they were terrified would probably be a bit of an understatement. You know, if you can just imagine in the quietness, in the stillness of the night, to all of a sudden be surrounded by this company of angels and to hear this message proclaimed of good news and great joy. You know, it reminded me of the fact that when God begins to move in your life, in my life, in the lives of these shepherds, when God begins to move, it can be terrifying at first. I think back to when I was 8 years old. I was sitting in a church in central Alabama. And my dad, who is and was a pastor, I grew up underneath his teaching. And I remember sitting in a revival service, this multi-day church service, to where, you know, the gospel was being preached each and every night. And it was a message I had heard time and time again. But as an 8-year-old boy, I remember there was something different about this night. I was not only hearing my dad speak, but I was actually listening to the words he was saying. And when he talked about how sin separates us from God and that we must confess our sins in order to once again have a relationship with Jesus Christ, to trust in his sacrifice on the cross for our sins, I remember leaning on the edge of my seat and realizing for the first time in my life, I've never done that. I've heard all about Jesus, but I've never asked forgiveness of my sins. I've never asked and made him Lord and Savior of my life. And in that moment, I began to desire a relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, much like every service I was a part of, especially growing up, at the conclusion of the service, there would be an altar call, a time when we would sing and you could come and you could gather at the altar. And if you wanted to make a decision for Jesus, you could do it at that time. And I'll never forget, as the service was drawing to a close, and I knew that time was coming up, even though I wanted to take a step forward, I was terrified in my spirit. You know, what would other people say? You know, all of the things that we begin to think and the conversation we begin to have ourselves in our head. You know, will my parents be angry at me? Will they be excited for me? You know, what will other people think of me? What about those who thought I already was a Christian? Will they be disappointed in me? What will they say if I get up and I step out and I go to an altar of prayer? You know, when God begins to move in your life, it can be terrifying. But the truth is this, what the shepherds found, I believe is also true in our life, that as we begin to take steps of faith, joy and peace begins to come into the moment. In fact, as we continue to read through the story in Luke, it says in verse 11, "Today the angel continues to speak, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Those terrified feelings, that they gave way to joy and peace. You know, this idea, this understanding that as those who had longed for the Messiah to come, that he was finally here. And they were the first to hear this news. That they were getting a chance, an opportunity to share in the joy that the angels were already rejoicing in. Right? This terrifying moment all of a sudden begins to give way to the joy and the peace that the angel is talking about. You know what they experienced in that moment? It's what I've seen others experience as they just take a step of faith and walk in obedience to the Lord. As they take a step through the fear and they realize the joy and the peace that lies on the other side. It's an 8-year-old little boy who's standing in a congregation. The fear of stepping out, but yet he steps through and he goes to an altar and he realizes the joy and the peace that awaits there. You know, as we look at the shepherds, they hear this great news. And as they're you know, just astounded by all that's taking place, it says in verse 15 that when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, so here's this great moment that takes place on this field. And that is the angel and the heavenly host leave them, and all of a sudden there's silence once again in the evening air. The shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who is lying in the manger. You know, as we look at the shepherds, one thing that has always amazed me is that as they hear the good news, that they immediately go. In fact, I think it's something for all of us to realize that when God calls, you should go quickly. that you shouldn't hesitate. That when God is calling you, when you have that moment, even in the midst of maybe fear or just kind of being a little bit scared of what could take place, what this is going to mean in your life, when you hear God calling upon your life, you should respond. You should go quickly. And it's exactly what the shepherds do. In fact, Scripture tells us that they go and they run and they find Mary and Joseph. But if you really look at that word, if you study that word in the Greek, the real definition of that word is that they found after a search. I mean, they just ran into the town looking and searching for the one that they had been told about. Just that anxious anticipation, right? That knowing that it's got to be here somewhere. He's got to be here somewhere. And they just continue to run and run until they find it. It reminds me of the verse that Jesus says, if you seek me, you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I don't think anything could better describe the seeking of the shepherds except that they sought him with all of their heart. And then they find him, Mary and Joseph and the baby in this very humble setting. And as they look at all of what's around them, verse 17 says, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. You know, as I read those words, I believe all of us, so we look in the book of Matthew, chapter 28, all of us were called to be witnesses to what we've seen and what we've heard. You know, as believers in Jesus Christ, there's a call upon our life. And I think we're reminded of it in the Christmas time, but it's something that should be on our hearts each and every day of our life, that we're called to be witnesses of all we've seen and of all we've heard concerning Jesus. It's what the shepherds find themselves in this moment. These ones who were ceremonially unclean to go to the temple have had the opportunity to come and to worship the Lord in His presence, kneeling by His side. And they go and they tell everyone they can about the things that they've seen and that they've heard. And it says that everyone who heard it was amazed. What a powerful thought. That in the midst of this quiet night, in the midst of this silent night, that as the shepherds were experiencing the Savior, as they were experiencing the one that the angels had told them about, as they were meeting Mary and Joseph for the first time, as they were getting to lay eyes on Jesus, as they left that place, they didn't leave in silence. No. They left telling everyone they could. You see, there's something about an encounter with Jesus Christ that keeps us from being silent. We can't be silent about what we've seen and what we've heard. I mean, when great joy has taken place in our life, we can't help but tell other people about it. And so as the shepherds begin to go, verse 19 says, but Mary treasured up all of these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which was just as they had been told. The shepherds returned. I think so oftentimes in our life, we have a tendency, if we're not careful, to judge our life by our hopes and our dreams, much like George Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life. That if we don't accomplish these great things that we have set in our minds to accomplish, that we can begin to feel as though life is a failure. Or at best, we haven't really done what we were born to do. You know what I think is amazing is that although the shepherds returned to their old jobs, they returned new men. They returned to being shepherds. They didn't go on to write a best-selling novel. They didn't start a podcast to tell people about what they had seen and what they had heard. They continued shepherding. The same job. But there was a great difference, is that they were new men. They had seen the Savior. You know, the truth is, I don't know what God is going to call you to do in your life. I mean, it could be great and mighty things. It could be something seemingly very small. But what I do know is that God is doing a great thing in and through you. At least He desires to. But if you're like me, there's times where we ask the question, God, what are you doing? Lord, it just doesn't seem like my life is making sense. It seems like I would have been farther along at this point in my life by now. It seems like I would have been married. It seems like I would have had kids. It seems like I would have gotten my degree. It seems like I would have started the business. God, it just seems like something is off. Lord, what are you doing? Have you ever asked that question of God in your life? If you've asked that question, you're not alone. I think many, many people have. And I'm so glad and so thankful that we serve a God who's big enough for our questions. But I think the truth is, God is doing something. Even when we wonder if He's up to something, God is always doing something. In fact, as I looked at the lives of these shepherds, if I look at my own life and the times looking back and reflecting on all that God has done, here's what I've realized, is that God is doing something beautiful. I know it may not seem that way, especially after 2020. I mean, to put beautiful as a descriptor on what God is currently doing, it may seem almost inauthentic to label it that way, but I mean, when we look at what God is truly doing, we know that God creates beautiful things. You know, as we look at the life in which God is creating, the way in which He is moving in your life and in my life, I have to believe that as we look back on it 10, 20, 30 years from now, that we'll see the beautiful things that God was doing. You know, for the shepherds, they never realized, they had no way of knowing that night when they had gone out into the fields like they had done numerous, numerous times before, that they would be forever changed by morning. You know, the truth is, even in the mundaneness of our life, in the Mondays, the Tuesdays of our life, God is doing something beautiful. And we never truly understand the impact that He's making until we're able to look back. He's doing something beautiful, but He's also doing something beyond our understanding. The shepherds had no way of knowing what God would use and how He would use them in the evening to share the good news. There's definitely no way that they would have guessed that as shepherds, that they would be cast in history in this cast of Christmas, that they would be forever, you know, just embedded in the pages of God's Word. That when people spoke of the night Jesus came to earth, that they would always be included in that conversation. What an amazing thought. That God is doing something beyond our understanding. We may think our lives are insignificant. I don't believe God ever views life that way. He's using you and He's using me. He desires to use all of us in this story of love that He's crafting together. And although we may not truly understand all that He's doing in the moment, all that we have to do is trust that He makes beautiful things and that He's using us to a far greater degree than I believe we could ever truly realize, even in the midst of the mundaneness. Well, finally, I believe that God is doing something that will bring you great joy if you allow it. I say if because God never forces this on anyone. Everyone has a choice to accept this great joy or to reject it. Well, I believe as we look at the Christmas story, as we look at the cast of Christmas, what we begin to realize is that, especially for the shepherds, there was a decision that they had to make. Were they going to go and seek out the one that they had been told about? Or were they going to stay in the field? Were they going to just hear the good news but not truly experience the good news? And I think that's still a choice that many of us are facing. As we hear the good news, maybe as you listen to this message, you've never truly accepted the good news. You've heard all about it. Maybe friends of yours have told you about it because they're so excited about what God is doing in their life, but you've never experienced that joy and that peace yourself. You've never personally sought the Savior. And my prayer tonight, my prayer in this moment this morning, would be that you would seek Him. And when you seek Him, as Scripture says, I believe that you will find Him. When you seek Him with all of your heart. The same Jesus that the shepherds ran after and found in a manger is the Jesus who lived a sinless life. He's the Jesus who died and rose again for your sin and for my sin. He's the Jesus that while we were yet sinners, He died for us. And He's the Jesus that doesn't just want to be a character in a story, but wants to be the salvation for your life. Today, as we conclude, I want to help you understand that just like the shepherds, your situation may not change. It may, but it may not. I can't guarantee that when you seek Jesus, all of a sudden, the job's going to become perfect and the marriage is going to be flawless and the children are all going to get scholarships, right? I can't promise any of those things. The situations may or may not stay the same, but here is one thing that I know without a doubt. While your situation may not change, you definitely will. I believe, although we don't hear about these shepherds anymore in Scripture, that their lives were ever transformed by Jesus Christ. And I believe He's still in the transformation business today. You know, it really comes down to this. Do you trust the author of your story? Do you trust the one who has created all things? Do you trust the one who, in the stillness of the night, as Jesus was being born, chose to not share that great news first with kings, but chose to share to lowly shepherds, showing that He had come for all mankind? I encourage you to trust the author today to find joy and peace in Jesus Christ. And that as God is moving in your life, maybe even in this moment, to not be so terrified that you don't take a step of faith and experience the joy and the peace that's waiting on the other side. Have a great morning. Thank you so much for this opportunity. And my prayers are with you this Christmas season.